NPR in the United States has been along to Donald Trump's rallies lately as he tries to be both the once and future president of the United States. And its purpose in doing so was to amplify what Trump says, aside from the usual brief sound grabs that media use after the events, like this one.
"Shut up, silly woman," said the reptile with a grin. "You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in." The snake, that's our border.
15 U.S. states are poised to decide who will contest the presidency this year. I think we know the outcome of the voting already, but there are always unknown unknowns and black swans, and a week is a long time in politics, let alone 8 months. Super Tuesday is nearly here. Joe Biden will certainly be the Democrats' choice for the presidency at this stage, but Nikki Haley hasn't given up on defeating Donald Trump. Karen Kasler is our US correspondent. Karen is the State House Bureau Chief for Public Radio and Television in the state of Ohio. She's been on the road with candidates and at their conventions in previous US elections, and has been a moderator in major debates, and she's won numerous journalism awards too, and is a 3-time Emmy nominee. Karen Kasler, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very well. Trump is reading out fables about snakes, Karen, and he's also ruminating on perfidious fate.
"Every time the radical left Democrats, Marxists, communists, and fascists indict me, I consider it truly a great badge of honor, because I'm being indicted for you. I never even think about it any other way. Never forget, our enemies want to take away my freedom, because I will never let them take away your freedom. We have to straighten out our country."
So, Karen, he's a martyr for America on a noble crusade. And I see in the New York Times this morning he's 5 points ahead of Biden. It's working in some shape and form, yeah?
Well, he's not a martyr. I mean, he was indicted on 91 counts and 4 criminal cases, election interference in Georgia, falsifying business records in New York, in federal court for mishandling and refusing to return classified documents, and for attempting to overturn the 2020 election, which culminated in the insurrection on January 6, 2021. So these have all been presented to grand juries, and the indictments have been returned. So there's evidence for all of these things here. We need to let the court process play out, but the idea that he's a martyr or that he's being indicted for his followers is just not correct at all. And on the snake thing that you played at the beginning, he's been using that for a very, very long time. I mean, he talks about now it's the border, but he has been using that story quite a long time. And it's interesting because people who are opposed to him will say that that's actually his own story, that he told people exactly what he was, and those who didn't believe him got bitten by him, essentially.
Yeah, I meant he thinks he's a martyr. He's just had good news from your Supreme Court over the January 6th Capitol invasion, I think.
Yeah, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear the claims of presidential immunity that he has said he has. And this is, of course, related, like you said, to the January 6th insurrection. Trial was supposed to start on that coming up this month, but now that's been moved back and the Supreme Court will hear the case in April. There was hope that the Supreme Court would not take up the case at all, because it's a very weak case to imply that he has complete immunity for anything. But all of this decision making does mean that there will likely not be a trial on that insurrection related charge before the November election.
Yeah. I'm not saying Nikki Haley's going to win states this Tuesday, Karen, but she has lately been getting bigger numbers than Trump would like, hasn't she?
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting to note that about 40% of Republican voters are supporting her over Trump, which means 40% of Republican voters are not supporting Trump. And she's made the claim that there's no way a candidate can win in a general election if 40% of the party's own voters won't support that candidate. Now, she obviously has a very long shot at this point to win. It seems pretty likely that she's going to be dropping out at some point, but she's still raising money. She's still going out there talking about all of this. And the question, of course, then becomes, when she drops out, which seems ever more likely, what is she going to do? Is she going to support Donald Trump, which is typically what candidates have been doing, even though she's been criticizing him now, or is she going to potentially go a different way?
Yeah, well, there seems to be, well, I guess she's going to wait. She's waiting to see what could possibly happen, isn't she, as well? There seems to be a sea change, this big sea change of dissent, which you're referring to, regarding both Trump and Biden, but that can't seem to turn into a tide. There's nowhere for that tide to go, Karen.
Right. I mean, this is a binary choice, essentially. There have been no third party candidates in modern history who have won the presidency. So any American who was hoping for a third party candidate to come and beat both Trump and Biden, that's just not going to happen. It is a binary choice between Trump and Biden. You do have the possibility of candidates talking about becoming a third party. Nikki Haley herself has declined to join this group called No Labels, which is supposed to meet on March 8th to talk about whether they're going to launch a presidential ticket. But at this point, it really is a choice between Biden and Trump. And that's what voters are going to have to decide, which one they want or which one they want the least or that they don't want, because certainly there are going to be people who are going to be voting against one or the other.
If Joe Biden were to be deposed, because that's still being talked about a lot, and we'll discuss the mechanics of that, would it be fair to say the Democrats would likely go with California Governor Gavin Newsom, who seems pretty personable? Well,
and he's one of the names that's talked about also. J.B. Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois, Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. Those are some of the names that have been thrown out there. But it's highly unlikely that there will be any changes made before the summer, so the primary process continue. You've got a filing deadline for the states that have primaries, and 31 of those states, the filing deadline is passed. So there wouldn't be an opportunity for either Biden's name to be replaced with another name or for another Democratic candidate to get into the race. We also already do have two candidates in the race, Minnesota Representative Dean Phillips and also author Marianne Williamson. They're in that. And then there's Kamala Harris, the vice president, and her polling numbers are not good. But removing her from the ticket or passing her over, in a sense, would be seen as a real slap in the face to Black voters. And they comprise a big portion of the Democratic base. So there was a real concern about that, too. And women, too, of course.
Well, on NBC, yeah, I can see the whole tangle of possible decisions that people are being presented with. On NBC, Newsom was presented with a poll in which 76% of voters have concerns about Biden lasting a second term. And he said, look, listen, Biden's presidency has been a masterclass. And Karen, this is the thing about politics now. I mean, you can confidently explain how Biden has added jobs and fought climate change and brought manufacturing back to America. Or you can confidently explain how everything is unaffordable and the border's wide open and he's wasted money on energy schemes that are in denial about the ongoing role of fossil fuels. I mean, we are in the age not only of alternative facts, but sort of parallel dialogues.
Yep, that's politics in a nutshell. It really is. You've got the messaging working overtime, certainly on the Republican side, because it really is easy to talk about the impacts that people see when it comes to the economy. Food prices are up, gas prices are up, even though inflation is down. The unemployment rate has been down for the last couple of months. Job numbers have been enormous. They've shattered records. The stock market is at record levels, but people don't see that as clearly as they see things like what they're paying at the grocery store and what they're paying at the gas pump. And so that's the dueling narrative here. Of course, the president has so little to do with many parts of the economy, but people still do either blame or credit the president quite typically with what they see as their personal economic situation.
Yeah, and this would seem dangerous for the Democrats. A Financial Times poll a couple of months ago, only 14% of US voters say Joe Biden's made them better off. 70% think his policies have hurt the economy. But then the Washington Monthly comes out with the headline, based on incomes, Americans are a lot better off under Biden than under Trump. So the trouble is for Biden is that voters aren't feeling that, and it's no use if they're not feeling it, presumably.
And we do still have a while to go before the election. There was a University of Michigan report on consumer sentiment that came out last month showing it's up to its highest level in 2.5 years. So consumers are gaining some confidence in the economy, but certainly not at the level that a lot of Democrats would want to see. And of course, you've got Trump out there now, who's straight up lying in many cases about the unemployment rate and some other things regarding the economy. So this is the messaging that voters are seeing and hearing about. And we'll have to see what happens in the next 9 months or so. But certainly the economy, while it's the numbers are arguably good for Biden, the perception just simply hasn't been.
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in these months. Another ABC poll, 86% of Americans think Biden's too old to serve another term. 62% think the same of Trump. A Monmouth University poll, 48% of Democrats think Biden will be replaced as nominee. That's only one poll, but it's out of Monmouth University. How would that happen exactly? You've been to conventions. It can happen at the last minute, can't it?
Yes. I mean, it certainly can. Like I said, it probably wouldn't happen. It seems highly unlikely to happen during the primary process, which we're right in the middle of. We've got Super Tuesday coming up on Tuesday of this week. And because of those filing deadlines, you just really couldn't replace Biden at this point. So there's a scenario where Biden could continue on through the primary process and get all the delegates that he needs to secure the nomination, because that's what the primary process is about, is securing those delegates. And then he could, after the primary process is over, say he's going to step down and he will then direct his delegates to go to whoever the party's nominee would be. And that, of course, would set off a scramble among Democrats for who should be the party nominee, who will be chosen at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago on August 19th. But these are really, really speculative scenarios at this point. Right now, it looks like we're on track to have a Biden-Trump rematch, which overwhelmingly voters have said they do not want and they have not wanted throughout this process. But this is where we apparently are.
Karen Kassler is with us. Have you ever seen, before I move on, have you ever seen a year like this? It seems such a strange phenomenon.
You know, the last decade has been like this. I mean, Honestly, 2016 featured two of the most unliked candidates for president in Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And then 2020 with the global pandemic and everything that happened then, and then Biden beating Trump. And now we're in this space where who knows what's going to happen. It's all very uncertain. And I think that makes it very difficult for voters to start to think about what's going to happen. I mean, we've got global conflicts now going on with what's happening in Ukraine and the Israel-Hamas war. All of these things have really brought together a situation where voters are concerned. And this is once again going to be the most critical election in U.S. history, as it has been over the last many, many cycles.
To quote the New York Times again, the border problem in the U.S. is a humanitarian disaster, a drug crisis, a national security emergency, a cartel war, and an American political battle all playing out during a presidential election year. And 57% of voters do perceive a crisis. A CBS poll reports half of all Americans think this immigration surge will make society worse. It's possible that you could look back on this election and say it wasn't the economy, it was immigration, stupid. How big is it, do you think?
Oh, I think it's a huge issue. I think it's a huge issue. Polls are repeatedly showing that immigration is the most important issue for American voters, even voters who aren't anywhere near the U.S. southern border. That's why both Biden and Trump were at the southern border last week. They were there on the same day, basically doing dueling visits and talking to different people about what's going on there. You've got a lot of polls indicating this is a hugely important issue. And that's one reason why what's been happening in Congress has been interesting. It was a bipartisan immigration bill that was agreed upon by both Republicans and Democrats. And this was supposed to deal with the problem and arrest it, so to speak. And then Republicans ended up spiking it because Trump wants to campaign on that issue. And he told them not to pass this bipartisan bill. Now you got Republicans calling this bipartisan bill a piece of garbage, that they never supported it. But the Border Patrol was among those who did support it. The people who were actually patrolling the border said this bill would help. And so the question becomes, Is it an emergency that needs to be resolved right away? Or is it not an emergency and can wait till after the November election? I think Republicans really have to answer that question.
How high is the likelihood that Trump will end up in jail at some point? I mean, 91 criminal charges, but it's Georgia that sees the most trouble for him. Well, it's been the one most in the news. But the district attorney, Fannie Willis, has troubles of her own, doesn't she?
Yeah, and we're still waiting to hear about a result. There was a hearing on that case to try to figure out if that situation involving Fannie Willis will go forward. But it seems highly unlikely at this juncture that Trump will end up in jail. I mean, he's certainly been sanctioned in New York. He's not allowed to operate businesses essentially there. I mean, we keep hearing about how serious these cases are and how important these charges are, but yet it seems very unlikely that we're going to see a resolution that ends up with him in prison, at least not in the near future. And then, of course, the question is, if he does go to trial, the trials, whatever trials might happen, would happen after the election, or at least would not be resolved until after the election. And then if he wins, what happens to a sitting president if he's on trial? We've never been in this place before in the United States.
Do you think there's a danger that whichever way the election goes, the result will simply not be accepted? I mean, we've seen Trump not accept one already, but would the Democrats accept a Trump victory?
I think it's almost certain to say that Republicans who support Trump would not accept the result if Biden is the winner. I think that's very clear because we've already seen that happen. It's already been basically predicted in 2020, so to speak. I don't know how Democrats would feel about this. I mean, there have been times in the past when Democrats have certainly questioned the results of elections. I mean, Bush versus Gore in 2000, that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. There were real concerns about how the Supreme Court essentially decided that contest. But I really hope that we can come to some agreement no matter what happens, because this period of the lying about the 2020 election has been really damaging to the security of the election system and to the people who work in elections. The individual citizens who run elections in states, they've been threatened. They've had major problems in their own personal lives in terms of the fear for their own safety. I mean, and many of them have quit. We've lost a lot of really good people who were running elections who just got out of the business because they were too stressed and afraid and frustrated with the whole process. So it's been a horrible situation for the U.S. election system has integrity. It is secure, but yet people on the Republican side keep perpetuating this idea that it's not.
Karen, always good to talk to you. It sounds like you've got a clear blueprint for a really riven society come the end of the year, actually, just quickly.
I certainly hope not, but yeah, you do have to worry about it. With everything that's going on, it's really concerning. So absolutely.
Karen Kessler, our US correspondent.